Sadashyah. The members of the assembly. Uchuhu. Said. Utpati. Repeated birth and death. Udhvani. On the path of. Ashadane. Not having a place to take shelter. Uru. Great. Klesha. Troublesome. Durge. In the formidable fort. Antaka. Termination. Ugra. Ferocious. Vyala. Snakes. Anvishte. Being infested with. Vishya. Material happiness. Mrigatrishi. Mirage. Atma. Body. Geha. Home. Uru. Heavy. Baraha. Burden. Dwanva. Dual. Shwabre. Holes, ditches of so-called happiness and distress. Kula, ferocious. Mriga, animals. Boye, being afraid of. Ashokadave, the forest fire of lamentation. Agyasa artaha, are for the interest of the rascals. Padaokaha, shelter of your lotus feet. Te, unto you. Sharanada, giving shelter. Kada, when. Yati, went. Kama upashrishtaha, being afflicted by all sorts of desires. So, translation. The members of the assembly address the Lord, O exclusive shelter for all who are situated in troubled life in this formidable fort of conditional existence. The time element, like a snake, is always looking for an opportunity to strike. This world is full of ditches of so-called distress and happiness, and there are many ferocious animals always ready to attack. The fire of lamentation is always blazing, and the mirage of false happiness is always alluring, but one has no shelter from them. Thus, foolish persons live in the cycle of birth and death, always overburdened in discharging their so-called duties. And we do not know when they will accept the shelter of your lotus feet. You can repeat. The members of the assembly address the Lord. O exclusive shelter for all who are situated in troubled life. In this formidable fort of conditional existence. The time element, like a snake, is always looking for an opportunity to strike. This world is full of ditches. Of so-called distress and happiness. And there are many ferocious animals. Always ready to attack. The fire of lamentation is always blazing. And the mirage of false happiness. Is always alluring. But one has no shelter from them. Thus, foolish persons live in the cycle of birth and death, always overburdened in discharging their so-called duties. And we do not know when they will accept the shelter of your lotus feet. And so, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Persons who are not in Krishna consciousness are living a very precarious life as described in this verse. But all these circumstantial conditions are due to forgetfulness of Krishna. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to give relief to all these bewildered and distressed persons. Therefore, it is the greatest relief work for all human society, and the workers thereof are the greatest well-wishers, for they follow in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, who is the greatest friend to all living entities. Okay? Sadasya uchu upatyavan upatyadvan yasharana urukleshu durgaintako gra avyalan vishtevishaya murga trishatma gehoru bhava dvandva shvabre kalamurga bahe shokadave kyaksartha padokaste sharanada kada yati kamo pasrishtaha. Right. So, Omaganat, Midandasha, Gananjana, Shlakaya, Chakshurun, Meditam, Yena, Tosmai, Shigurveena Maha. So, it's a pretty depressing description of this world, isn't it? Enough to make you want to just end it all. So, several interesting points here. One, of course, is all these different factors that we're hearing described here are due to the underlying time factor. Just like we see in the Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna is seeing the universal form, and the universal form is doing all these things that are described here, devouring everybody. In other words, giving a hard time to everybody. So Arjuna asks Krishna, you know, who are you? And Krishna, of course, says, you know, that I'm time. And also, Kalavasmi and Mrityu Sarva Arascham, I'm all devouring death. And it's very interesting. But people are in so much illusion that, of course, as we've cited many times before, and as Prabhupada was very fond of citing this verse from the Mahabharata, Hani Hani Bhutani Gachanti Yamalayam, that again and again, ahani, bhutani, the living entities, gachanti means to go, they are going, yamalaya, to Yamaraj, in other words, to death, again and again. Kimascharya taparam, but how wonderful it is that we think, you know, it's not going to happen to us. That's the most wonderful thing in this world. So in other words, we observe the time factor. And certainly everyone is going to be judged by Yamaraj. And the interesting thing about Yamaraj, I was actually thinking about Yamaraj yesterday. Because Prabhupada commented that that actually the demigods are Krishna's servants. So Prabhupada also said, you know, like the GVC is like Krishna's... like the demigods are Krishna's GVC. And yeah, that's what Prabhupada said. And Prabhupada said, you know, then they make some mistake. Then what happens? Then they have to get cursed to become Shudras. You know, Prabhupada's saying that in regard to Yamaraj being cursed to become a Shudra, taking birth as Vidura. I think you all know that story. Because Mandavya Muni was offended because Yamaraj had caused him to be punished for piercing an insect with some straw when he was young. So I was thinking about like Yamaraj, like what is his consciousness like? I mean, is he, obviously because he's a Mahajan, he's not really enjoying like punishing the living entities in a perverse way. Like people sometimes they enjoy punishing others. They want to see others suffer. He certainly doesn't want to see others suffer. He's a Vaishnava, so Vaishnava is Para Dugaduki, you know, he doesn't like to see others suffer. He considers others suffering his own suffering. And I was thinking it's like a parent saying to a child, you know, this hurts you more than it hurts me. And, of course, as a child, I never believed that. I don't know if you understand that. When I was a child, my mother would say that. She would say, this hurts you more than it hurts me. And because, you know, that loving connection that the mother has with the child. But I was thinking, yeah, sure. She's just saying that, huh? But actually, she was feeling that. because the mother and the child is a very, very tight bond. It's the closest thing to love of God or pure love within this world, as Srila Prabhupada said. So I was thinking that Yamaraj actually feels like that in regard to us. And the reason I was thinking about that is not that I was thinking about death so much. I was thinking about how in my service, I have to sometimes pass judgment, you know, which I'm very reluctant to do. Just like we have one particular instance where someone, official in some country that I'm in charge of, or in charge of the movement in some country, I'm not in charge of the country, he's done something wrong, you know, really violated some principles, not Krishna conscious principles, but, you know, ordinary moral principles. And I'm very reluctant to pass judgment on him. You know, so I'm calling up other people, can you do it for me? It's interesting. I mean, it's in Europe, it's not in the United States. So I'm calling up like the Euro Executive Committee and saying to my different friends in the Euro Executive Committee, would you be willing to come there and pass judgment on him? And they keep saying, no, it's your duty. And I said, and then I call up my friends in the ISKCON Resolve, you know, Brajabihari, and I said, would you be willing to mediate this? And he says, what do you mean by mediation? And I said, well, come to the conclusion that I want you to come to. He said, that's not mediation. So, you know, exploring all these different alternatives because we're really reluctant to pass judgment. Ultimately, you know, we have to pass judgment. You know, so just because it's very reluctant. So I was thinking this is how Yamaraj feels too. Not that he's trying to get someone else to do it for him. Of course, he has his Yamadutas to take care of it. But still, you know, he's the one who just, he's the judge. He's a judge. That's Yamaraj. He's just judging people. And, you know, he has to consult Shastra, considering their welfare. I mean, it's not just like a black and white affair. When the judge is a judge, or a judge is a judge, when there's a judge in the court and he has to be fair, he has to consider what's best for society, what's best for the person. You know, it's just not that he applies the law out of context. Does everyone understand that point? So I was explaining, I was thinking, how difficult is the job of Yamaraj? Anyway, getting back to Yamaraj. So everybody's going to see Yamaraj. Hani, hani, bhutani, gachanti, yamalayam. Kimaschaya, atakvaram. But we're not seeing it. I mean, it's just really blindness. Anda yatandar. We're like blind people, as described in the Bhagavatam, being led by other blind people. And we just don't see the truth in our right in front of our faces. Just like in the Bhagavatam, the 12th canto is described how the time factor affects us and this cosmic creation. It describes the four types of dissolution. I mean, that's the effect of the time factor. Not only, all right, so let's talk about that for a second. So the four types of a destruction or dissolution that the time factor is actually functioning or causing to happen. And I'll describe the four types. One type is called the occasional. That means when Lord Brahma like takes a nap or goes to sleep. You know, you don't want Lord Brahma to get tired. That's the last thing. You don't want to hypnotize him or... Because as soon as he closes his eyes, you know, a little bit inattentive, there's like an occasional partial devastation. You know, he takes a nap or something like that. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? That we're dependent on Lord Brahma. So that's called the occasional. And that means it happens in regular intervals. Of course, those regular intervals are really long, pretty long. You know, Lord Brahma's day is what? Sahasra Yuga Paryantam. 1,000 ages taken together. 1,000 times 4,300,000 years. So that's a long time. Someone may say, well, huh. I don't have to worry about that dissolution. You know, that's taken care of. And so there another one that takes a long time is called the material dissolution, which means at the end of Lord Brahma's life. And that you don't really have to worry. You should worry, but... but, you know, even that's, you know, that's so far away. It's, you know, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's day. 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's night, right? And then 365 days a year, and then 100 years of Brahma's time, which is much longer than our time, obviously, you know, when you take the ratio like that into account. So then that's the material destruction. Everything's finished. But still, there, again and again, there's a creation. As Krishna says in the Gita, what's that verse? Obhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Again and again, praliyate, bhutva, bhutva. Again and again, there's a manifestation. And again and there, again, there's a destruction. Which is interesting, because that indicates the whole Vedic conception of time, which is circular, you understand? There's creation, there's destruction, and then there's another creation. Or where also Krishna says, wherever there is birth, death is certain. Wherever there is death, birth is certain. So once you perform his duties, that's another verse from the Bhagavad Gita. So it's circular. And incidentally, in the West, they used to believe in circular time too. And the Greeks, they believed in this time, it was circular. Because that's natural, you know, like spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter, spring, summer, fall, winter. You know, it circulates, that's all. It's not that, you know, we're waiting for winter to happen and then everything's over. You know, we die when winter happens. We may die, but that's not because of winter. So, but what happened is that we had our nice Middle Eastern influence of religion. That religion and the concept of time that actually imposed upon us, you know, in the Western world, a linear conception of time. So it was actually, the Greeks actually had a circular conception. Because the Greeks, incidentally, they learned a lot of their stuff, and not most or all their stuff, from India. Like you had Pythagoras, you know, he believed in reincarnation, and what to speak of Socrates, who Prabhupada said was Brahman realized, because he was just ready. He said to the people who were trying to poison him, or he took the poison voluntarily, but he said to them, because they condemned him, he said, you cannot catch me. You know, basically, I'm the soul. So Prabhupada said he's Brahman realized. So the time factor is circular. You know, it happened again and again. Just like the Lord sitting on the sesh and as the Mahavishnu, he breathes out and he breathes in and he breathes out and breathes in, just like us too. We breathe out, because when we breathe out, we don't create universes, and we breathe in, we don't destroy universes. We destroy some atoms, of course. Not atoms, I would say some microbes, not atoms. So in the Lord, it's a periodic function like that. So the two types of dissolution we describe, there's the material and the occasional. But the two types that really should concern us are the final two types. One is called, let's say we did the material, occasional. Oh, then there's a constant. That's one of the types that should really be an impetus for spiritual life. You understand? Constant means every day we see things. It's not that we're just worried about going to Yamaraj. You know, every day things are falling apart. I mean, you go to the doctor and you're just really worried what they're going to find. Just like, you know, we go to the eye doctor and they look in the eye. You know, what do they do? Oh, yeah, they take the pressure of the eye, you know, to see if there's too much pressure in the eye. And then they look inside the eye and they dilate your pupil, right? We all have that done if you go to an eye doctor. And they look inside to see if there's anything like cancer growing, or a little hole in the back of the eye, or, you know, retinal detachment, or something like that. Anyone's ever been to the eye doctor here? Isn't that, they do that? Because this is the time factor that's causing that to happen. You know, it's really, and you know that something's going to happen. You know, you don't know what. That's the most horrible thing. I mean, if you could figure out, you know, well, this is going to happen at this age, you know, it's all predicted. You get a schedule, you know, like a morning program in the temple. You know, we have Mangalarti at 4:30. So, you know, so if you understand, like at 80, your eyes fall out, you know, something like that. It actually wouldn't be as much anxiety. But you really don't know. And you know, what to speak of automobile accidents and things like that, and, you know, other things, you know, arthritis, rheumatism, or, you know, heart attack or any of these things. It's just like it's unpredictable. Sometimes there's no schedule that you're given when you're born. You know, here's what's going to happen. You know, of course, an expert astrologer, which we don't have any knowledge of in this modern day, probably could predict basic things that will happen. You know, just like I have one of my godbrothers, actually Pallad Nandamara, she's an astrologer. So I'd say, Maharaj, what do you see for me in the future? And he says, wow, I see Krishna consciousness. Anyway, so, but you know, he's not that precise, and he's pretty good. He carries around his little palm top all the time, and he has all the sannyasis' horoscopes in there, so he knows when a sannyasi is going to have spiritual troubles. Anyway, so, because he's the sannyas minister. So that's the constant annihilation, you know, constantly everything's falling apart. I mean, even if you're not worried about your body, your computer falls apart. Isn't it? Computer, you know, then you got to get another computer, you got to get a new body. So, anyway, these annihilations. And then the final type is called the final annihilation, which is the main one we should be concerned with, which is liberation. Like getting out of the material world. That's the annihilation that's really cool. Like going back to Godhead, going back home. Anyway, so we describe that. So the main thing we should understand about this time factor, I say the main thing, is that things are constantly in flux. And as Krishna says in the Gita, what did he say? Nasato vijate bhavo, na bhavo vijate sataha, ubayor api drishno antvas, tvanios tatva darshabhi, that those things which are temporary, which is everything in this world, is unreal. And those things which are eternal are real. That's that's basic Bhagavad Gita philosophy. So what does that mean? What is eternal in our lives? The bhakti rasa. You understand? The love you have for Krishna. That's eternal. I mean, the external aspects of your service is like you build a temple or something like that. That's not eternal. No, because a devotional service is eternal. But it's not to say that this temple is going to be here or the new temple is going to be here forever and ever and ever. Or they're going to remember your name like 100 years from now. You know, we all want, what, fame? Like that, you know, they're going to remember me. I'll have Locha make a bust of me, you know, when I leave my body. Isn't it, you know, one, a big head, you know, it'll be right here in the doorway, so with glasses on and everything like that. Anyway, even if I do that, the time factor will take that bust away, isn't it? It's like he made one of Ronald Reagan, right? Famous one, Ronald Reagan. So what happened to Ronald Reagan? Where is he now? I mean, the time factor took away his ability to think. I mean, he got Alzheimer's disease, and he didn't even remember his wife. He was in charge of the greatest country in the world, God bless America. And then where is he now? You know, he left his body. You know, he could be like one of the cockroaches crawling across the floor here. So all these things are temporary. The point I'm making is this. Temporary things. So we should put our focus or put our attention onto those things which are eternal, developing the internal life of Krishna consciousness. The bhakti rasa continues. You understand? Of course, Krishna says, "Swapam up yasya dharma shatrayate mahatovaya." In this endeavor, there's no loss or diminution. And a little bit of endeavor saves one of the most dangerous type of fear. So we should be able to identify those things that are temporary and not place so much importance on those things, except insofar as they can be utilized, yukta vairagya, in Krishna's service. So anyway, these are some of the points here, and we should be fully convinced that there is no shelter in this world, as the sages are saying. One has no shelter from them. The fire of lamentation is always blazing, the mirage of false happiness is always alluring, but one has no shelter from them. In other words, these things don't give you shelter. These relationships in this world, of course, relationship with devotees, you know, with advanced devotees, yes, that gives you shelter. But the relationships, the family connections, the things you own, your bodily health. I mean, just think of all the things we're taking shelter of that actually have that actually do not give us shelter, will disappoint us. Isn't it? People disappoint us. Situations disappoint us. Our body disappoints us. Doesn't it? Isn't it? I mean, we're disappointed with our body. You know how ugly it is. Or whatever. So all these things, you know. So yeah, because I was actually one of my disciples sent me a letter. She said, yeah, I've learned not to get disappointed. She said, she was referring to don't put expectations on people. Because generally we put expectations on people. Of course, on someone who is actually Krishna conscious, then that's all right. You can put expectations that they will be Krishna conscious. But you can't put expectations that they will serve you and do what you want them to do. Sometimes you have like people, you know, disciples or people work under you who have these expectations of Gurudev that he'll do, you know, he'll live up to what you want him to do for you. So we put all these expectations on people, and generally we're disappointed. You know, so she was in a different country. She said, yeah, I put all these expectations. I expected them to act in a certain way. And then I get disappointed and angry. I said, yeah, well, it's better not to have any expectations. You expect, did you get Krishna's mercy? That's called ashabandha. You know, that means hope against hope. You know, that's our expectation. We'll get Krishna's mercy. We'll get Prabhupada's mercy. If we serve, if we give ourselves to Krishna, then everything will be perfect. But if we just like try to have expectations, unrealistic expectations, either of people or of this world, we're going to be disappointed. So it's a very important point. So this is what this verse indicates, not in so far as people, but yeah, also in so far as people, but as far as this whole world. We should not have unrealistic expectations about this world. Trust, as Prabhupada said very nicely, trust no future, however pleasant. You know, in other words, it's not going to get better. And probably get worse. That's the way things are. You know, anyway, that's life. So, not to be negative. And not to be negative, actually, if we have this faith in Krishna consciousness and our real life is internal, then we'll always be positive. So you see this, you know, many people are negative, you know, they just get negative, like negative people. But we should be positive. Everything's positive. We're going back to Godhead. We chant Hare Krishna. We serve Prabhupada. Success is there. That's how we'll be successful. Every other way, don't bet on it. Don't bet on it. Actually, the only bet you can have in the material world is if you do a put. Anyway, I'll have to explain what that is. So in the stock market, there's two ways of making money. One is that you bet something goes up, and the other one bet something goes down. I mean, there's other ways too, like buying options and everything like that. But that's actually based on that. You know, so in the material world, you can win the prize by betting it'll go down. You understand? You can put a put on the material world, and then you'll be successful because it's going down. So, but we're positive. You know, Krishna's there. We're happy. We're serving Krishna. We're so grateful. Just like I was thinking this morning in Mangalarti, you know, thank you, Krishna, for letting me come to Mangalarti. Let me see you. Let me chant to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much. You know, we should always have this sense of gratefulness. I mean, it's really important. The positive, you know, what do we have? We're so fortunate. I mean, every one of us sitting in this room is extremely fortunate. I mean, so there's no cause for negativity. Because you're extremely fortunate. You should be so grateful at every minute for the association of devotees, for prasadam, for Prabhupada's mercy, for, you know, Prabhupada's words, you could just list the things, a thank you note to Krishna and Prabhupada. So there's no cause for being, you know, negative and grumpy. Grumpy Stilskin. You know, you're just happy. Like Prabhupada said, we turn hippies into happy. Hippies were not happy. I mean, if you take a look at the movie, what Woodstock movie. Now they're celebrating, what anniversary is it? 40th anniversary of Woodstock. And I've seen the movie, not the whole movie, because parts of it a sannyasi shouldn't watch. But You know, the people are not like in ecstasy. They're miserable. And where are they today? They're all old people or dead. All these young people who are so-called enjoying. They're all, not all of them, some join the Hare Krishna movement and they're happy. Like Mother Krishna Priya. She's in the film. Anyway, so... but other than that, you know, we should just have our hope in Krishna consciousness and be very positive about it. It's positive, you know. Whatever happens, it's positive. As long as we remain fixed and thankful. So any questions or comments about these things? We've got 1 minute left yet.
Yeah, so, come later. That's an interesting point, not having expectations.
Yeah.
Because this summer, in various situations, I was spending time with devotees, and I was expecting that because they were initiated, they would chant japa, but they didn't. And I thought they would offer food.
Sounds like the youth tour.
Well, the youth tour is controlled, but, you know, other places. So I was very disappointed, and I thought, better I'm not too close, because then I see this, and I get disturbed a little.
Because you have expectations, you're discouraged. Yeah. If you don't have expectations, then you can help them. See, but by having expectations, we're actually putting demands on people, which is really interesting. And then when they don't act the way we want them to act or we expect them to act, we get discouraged or angry or depressed or some emotion comes out like that. Whereas if we don't have expectation, or we sometimes I even expect the worst, but then you can actually be compassionate. Then there's more compassion. At least that's my experience. When you don't have like too many expectations from conditioned souls. I mean, from pure devotees, I mean, obviously it's a different thing. But from conditioned souls, I sort of, in my experience of Krishna consciousness, I gave up having expectations. Because otherwise I'd be angry and discouraged most of the time. My own personal realization. Jai, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.